السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشهد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ویل لکل ہمزۃ لمزۃ الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده. كلا كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة. نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also sisters that listen over receivers. Last week having done Surah Al-Adiyat, Wal-Adiyat, I received many calls and also some SMSs, and some friends also said that now when they are listening to the surah in the salat, then they are understanding what is the meaning of that surah, because it is read quite frequently in the Maghrib salat and other salats. In the same way, this surah also is read quite frequently by the different imams. So I decided to also do a very simple and a brief explanation of this surah, so that when we are reading the salah and when we are reading this surah, we get some kind of an understanding of what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is getting across to us in this surah. Now of course it's not going to be possible, as I've said, that in a 20 minute talk to explain in detail and go into all the discussion that the mufassirin have with regards to the words and from where they are deduced and all the meanings that can be implied. But just to give you a very simple explanation, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as he had mentioned in Surah Al-Adiyat, إِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ, that their love for this worldly wealth is intense. Allah ta'ala says their love is intense. And I explained that just the acquisition of wealth, the usage of wealth, is not haram and forbidden. But the love of that, when it penetrates the heart, then we get all kinds of problems surfacing in the community. The family also experiences the problems when the husband has intense love of wealth in his heart, because it leads to greed, it leads to arrogance, it leads to so many other things. And if the wife is very rich and the husband is a bichara or a poor person, so then he has to suffer the consequences of the wealth in the hands of that wife, if she has got the love of that wealth in her heart. Many times it happens that the husband is rich and the wife is from a poor family. And sometimes the wife is from a poor family and the wife is from a rich family and the husband is poor. So it can happen both ways. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says their love for wealth is intense, and then I discussed what is the consequence of that. Now in this surah again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about three major sins and warning. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. There are three things here. وَيْل, destruction, woe upon whom? وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Every person who is backbiting, finding faults behind the backs of others, talking ill of others behind their backs. Ghibat, as is well known. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wail upon them. Destruction, woe unto them. This is one of the major sins that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about first. Wailul li kulli humazatil lumaza. Each and every person, whosoever it may be, whether he is a mufti sahib, a qari sahib, an alim sahib, or whether he is a haji sahib, or whether he is a teacher, professor, lecturer, engineer, doctor, does not mean that anybody is excluded. Every person is included. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says destruction. It's woe unto the person who is a backbiter. Now this backbiting is a very major sin. And it is a kind of a sin in which when we start engaging, then we don't even realize that it is a sin that we are engaging in. Anything that we talk behind a person's back, which if he has to come to know of it, he will be offended. That is ghiba. If the person does not have that weakness in him, then it is slander. That's even worse. If the person has it in him, then it is ghiba. It is backbiting. And if he doesn't have it in him, then that's even worse. Because then now that is slander. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has condemned this sickness very severely. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu jitanibu kathiram minazzan. O ye who believe, abstain, stay away from suspicion, from doubts. One is in a dealing. If a person is doing a deal with somebody, then if he has to be cautious in that deal, he doesn't believe that that person is a thief, that person is a con artist, or that person will definitely take him for a ride faster than the July handicap horses. If the person doesn't believe in that, but he is cautious because that person is a total stranger. Or even if he is not a stranger, it is well known in town and in the city that this person is not a very reliable person to deal with. So if a person is cautious, he doesn't believe that that person is truly a thief and a rogue, or he will do him down, but he is cautious and he does not supply him goods, or he turns down his request for a loan on that basis, that he has some kind of a doubt because the person is a stranger, or that it is well known that this person is not very reliable. But since there is no evidence, he doesn't have the evidence, so he doesn't believe in it, but he's cautious. So that this is 100% acceptable, there's nothing wrong with it. It is according to Sharia, the person will not be sinful for turning down that request of a loan or supplying goods, because he believes that this person could probably not pay or go against his promise, then that is acceptable. But where the person believes just on the basis of some kind of rumor that truly this person is such, now that is a major sin. Without investigation, without really knowing the facts, without having the true evidence, if a person comes to conclusion, then this is a major sin. And we are living in such times. There was never a time in the history of man on this earth when communication was as is today. Within seconds, what happens in America, we get to know here. And within seconds, what happens here, they get to know in Europe, in Asia, and all around the world. And our newspapers, our magazines, they are flooding the marketplaces. Sometimes there's more newspapers than the amount of people in that city and town. Many a times people come and bring papers for distribution here, magazines for distribution here. If we have on a Juma day 1,000 people, so then they will leave 2,000 magazines here. So that is the state of affairs. That there is such a volume of literature that is being spread around. And then there's so much in those newspapers and in those magazines and in those news items and on the radio station news broadcasts and in TVs that we just get carried away, and without any investigation, without even knowing the head and tail of the story, just because somebody was arrested for some kind of a crime, which he was supposed to have committed. He has not as yet been charged, he has not yet been sentenced, there is no evidence that has been led. He could just have been in the wrong place at the wrong time and he was also arrested. Now we will listen to that news item and finish, come to conclusion. After that, our Walima Dastarkhans and our wedding and marriage parties and engagement fees and our outside the masjid gossips and inside the masjid gossips, everything will be related to that person. Did you hear that he committed rape? Did you hear that the person committed theft? Did you hear that that person ran away with so-and-so's daughter? Did you hear this and did you hear that? Now, whereas there is no evidence as yet, the person has just been arrested. So we have to be very, very careful, because if we are going to base our conclusions and our judgment on mere hearsay, many a times, did you hear that that person did jadu and so, did you hear that ladies, it's very, very common amongst them. Yes, that Amil said that so and so did jadu, his mother-in-law did jadu, her sister-in-law did jadu, so and so did jadu. There's no evidence. The person, the Amil himself sometimes doesn't know whether he's coming or going. Most of the time it's nothing but money makers and con artists. But it is something that is recognized as the truth, and so many families then start fighting and quarreling and arguing. But if we are going to do that, then it's going to lead to a similar kind of accusation sometimes in our life. And then we will wonder that how did this come? I'm such an innocent person. How did they blame me for this? But that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system, that if we are going to accuse somebody falsely, then it is going to hit back. So the best thing is to remain silent. If the person is coming up with a story, it appeared in the newspaper, appeared here, appeared there, but nothing has happened, no evidence has been led, no conclusions have been reached. So then what does it really cost us if we have to keep quiet? But ghibat is that thing, that we enjoy ghibat. Without that, our parties and our functions and our get-togethers, there's no masala in it. There has to be some kind of spices in our curries and in our food. Without that, there's no taste. So the spice of our gatherings and our functions and our get-togethers is nothing but gossip and ghibat. That is of the spice. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that after mentioning about staying away from suspicion, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu jitanibu kathiram minazzan inna ba'da zanni ith wala tajassasu wala yaghtab ba'dukum ba'da wala tajassasu, and do not spy. Why should we go unnecessarily spying on what the people are doing? Have we been appointed by the government as investigators? Has Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala appointed us that find out in everybody's life what is happening? Yes, those who are at the helm of affairs, or those who are in those departments where it is necessary that they should be spying or they should be investigating for some very valid reason, or the parents are keeping a check on the children, what they have got on their cell phones and what they are watching on the computers, then that is acceptable. But unnecessarily, without any reason, just to go and get some nice, good stories of what people are doing, then that is again, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, don't do that. Now there's so much on that, but I'm not discussing that today. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and let not some of you make the ghibat of others. And what does Allah ta'ala say? أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. The gist and the meaning of which is that would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Now look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's description which he is giving. In the first place, that person is a brother. He is not a stranger, he is a brother. Born of the same mother and same father, the same parents, the child is of the same parents. So now this is a brother. Then that brother is not even a living brother. If he was a living brother and we said, well, he sliced a piece of meat from his body and had it cooked, we'll say it was terrible, it was disgusting. But still at least that brother was living. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said it's a brother, and the brother is not even living, the brother is dead. And now you are eating flesh of that dead brother. Would anybody like it? Anybody in his true senses will ever like it? Look at the description Allah Ta'ala gives. Of course, if it is for the purpose of solving a problem, the person is going to a judge, or is going to a qazi, is going to an attorney, or is going to a mufti sahab, or is going to some molana sahab, or some counselor, and there he has to say that my brother did this, my sister did that, my father did this, there is an inheritance problem that I have, and I have a share in the property, but my brother is not giving my share, or my sisters, they are not getting their share. Now that is permissible, 100% permissible. So for the solution to a problem, it is permissible. But I am talking about ghibat, where there is no reason to talk about that person behind his back. Allah Ta'ala says that is like eating the flesh of the dead brother. Now as I said, that this is the spice of our conversations. That instead of looking at our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our faults, the only thing that we look at are the faults of the others. Tina jab talak hame apni khabar rahe dekhte auron ke aib o hunar. Padi apni kharabi pe jab nazar to nigaah mein koi bura na raha. He says, until I did not look into my own self, my own weaknesses, my own shortcomings, my faults, my own arrogance and my own pride and my own jealousy and my own malice and my own greed, until then I kept on looking at everybody else's faults and everybody else's weaknesses and everybody else's shortcomings. But when I looked into myself, I found that there was so much of weakness within me that after that I found nobody to be bad in this world. That's what the poet says. So what we have really done is we have moved our gaze away from ourselves. We are looking at everybody else because we think we are purified, we are clean, we have made tazkiyah of our nafs. And this ghibat is such a sickness that people don't even realize it. Even the pious and the righteous, and those who are considered to be pious and righteous like us also. Many a times it becomes under the category of ghibat. There was no need for that discussion. So we have to be so careful, because if a person is sitting in a gathering and is drinking alcohol and is a Muslim and he's got a beard also and he's got a kurta also and topi also, then what would anybody think of that person? Immediately they will criticize him, they will mock him, they will lash him and bash him. That don't you have any kind of shame, you're sitting right here and drinking in public gathering. But ghibat, it is accepted, it is like the spice of life. One non-Muslim professor, he read one article, and in that article it was about ghibat in an Islamic magazine. So after that he wrote to the author and he said that Islam says that there must be no ghibat, no backbiting about. So he says, where will there be fun after that? I can't accept this to be something that is correct, because you say must not talk about anybody behind his back. Now we are in parties, we are in functions, we are in conferences, we are here, we are there, we are everywhere, and the discussion must center around somebody or the other. We must talk about somebody. Without that, there's no fun. So the author also replied very, very carefully and cleverly. He said, no problem. You say that Islam should not have had such a kind of a law that you must not backbite. So how would you take it if from now on we tell everybody that they can talk as much bad about you as possible behind your back? How would you like it? That from now on everybody must talk about you and all your weaknesses and your shortcomings. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. That person cannot be a true believer also until he does not love for the other person what he loves for himself. For his own nafs, what he doesn't like, he mustn't like for the others too. So therefore the first thing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about here in this وَيْلُلْ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ الْهُمَزَةِ. So this humaza is from hams. There are different meanings, but one of the meaning on which most of the mufassirin have agreed is that it refers to backbiting. And lomaza is from talking to the person bad on his own face, in his presence, where the person is slandering, degrading, then that is lumps. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this is one of the major sins, and this degrading, insulting, using kind of language which is hurting the person, making a mockery and a fool of the person in front of him, many a joke is not acceptable to a person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself joked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the perfect human being. And anything and everything that a person will be confronted with in his life, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated it in his life. So a person will have to joke, laugh, be cheerful, talk, discuss. Now everything Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, even jokes, but look at his jokes also, pure, clean, not offensive. Something that afterwards brought happiness even into the heart of the person with whom we joked. So if this person is joking also in front of the person, but he's making a mockery of the person, then even that comes under lumps. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that these people, woe to them, destruction upon them. And the third one is, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ. The person who in his intense love for this wealth, as we discussed last week, إِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. So in his intense love for wealth, what he does is he gathers the wealth and then goes on counting and counting and counting. I'm just giving you the meaning. That means he's obsessed with it. There's nothing else in his heart and mind except how much he has gathered. How high has the bank balance gone? How many more properties he has bought? Unconcerned what is his relationship with his wife, with his children, with his parents, with the neighbors, with the society. And that wealth is bringing more and more arrogance into him. He has got no time after that to visit anybody in hospital or even to care for his own children. And it has brought such miserliness into his heart that he cannot even spend from that wealth, because every time that he spends, he thinks that something went less. As those three people got together and they were talking about the exorbitant electricity bill, and all three were misers. So one of them said that my bill, I have reduced it. He said, how have you reduced it? In summer time it's very hot and the fans have to be used. He said, well, this fan had three blades, so I took one out. So the other one said, he said, no, well, that couldn't have reduced it very much. I took out two blades, I use only one blade, so my bill came even less. The third one said that I have beat all of you all, because I've got the fan with all three blades. But whenever I feel very hot, I sit under the fan and I shake myself. So there's no bill at all. So that's the kind of miserliness then comes when the person gets intense love for that wealth. And wallah, I'm telling you, although it may sound like a joke this, but the fact is, this may just be a made-up story. But the thing is that is true in the lives of those people who have become obsessed with their wealth. A little bit of wealth too they cannot use in any good cause. It hurts them. Like one person went for a collection. Of course I'm not talking about the professional collectors who are all around and every day and every time. And they go and take our names also, that I was sent by so and so and I just met him now and I just had breakfast with him. And people take our names. I don't send anybody to anyone. You must investigate yourself. There's too much of bogus collectors. Some are genuine. Allah knows who is best. But somebody went to one collector, to one person for collection. And he said that I want a donation for this project of mine. So this was a miser that he had gone to. So the miser told him that you are a big Maulana sahab. Looks like you don't even know Hadith Sharif. He said, what do you mean I don't know Hadith Sharif? He said, Din Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al Muslimu man salim al Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim is that person from the mischief of whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. Now when you are saying must give donation, it hurts my heart. So I'm not safe from the mischief of your tongue. Mujhe bahut takleef hoti hai tum. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that these are three major sins. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, we will continue. I thought in the 20 minutes like last week, I'll condense it. But these were necessary things to be brought forward. Next week, of course, I will be in the Transvaal. But inshallah, the following week, we will continue.